ahead and open your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 5. Again, we are thankful to be in the Lord's house this morning. We do, as always, pray and need the Lord's blessing as we worship Him in His Word this morning. Genesis chapter 5 is going to be my starting text this morning. I say that because I'm probably going to be all over before I'm finished. I'll be all over the first several chapters, first few chapters of the book of Genesis. This morning I'm going to be talking about the first man. Next week we'll be talking about the fall of man. Now, I divided it up like that because it deals with the issue I've been thinking a lot about lately, and that is simply why we are the way that we are. I hope that I can make sense of what I want to say. It is, in reality, a very elementary subject. But I hope that I don't have so much stuff that I bore you to tears in my approach to it. That's a very real danger, I can tell you that. After a very long and boring sermon one time, the members of the church were filing out of the church building and without saying a word to the pastor. He was just standing there. They just walked right on by him. And finally, one man walked up to him, one of the members, and said, "Pastor," said, "that message reminded me so much of the love of God and of the peace of God." And the pastor, feeling pretty good about himself, you know, nobody ever said anything like that to him. He said, "Will you tell me, how did my son remind you of God's peace and God's love?" And the man said, "Well, it reminded me of God's peace because your message passed all understanding. And it reminded me of God's love because it endured forever," you know. Now, none of you smart alecks come up and say that to me after service this morning, but I hope that my message does not pass all understanding, and I hope that it does not seem like it endures forever. Theologically speaking, doctrinally speaking, it is a very elementary subject, and anybody that's read their Bible at all, I think, could handle this subject, at least in a very basic way. I understand that, but listen, in the practical aspect of this thing, sometimes it can be quite difficult. I mean, when many times we look out at the way that we are in our society, many times it can be quite distressing, many times quite perplexing to the believer. I know that from experience, and I know the biblical answer why we are the way we are. But I look out sometimes and I think, how in the world do we do the things that we do? And how in the world do we allow, you know, the things we allow in our society? I mean, why, I look out and I think, why are we this way? You know, how in the world did we get like this? And I'll just tell you, I'm finding myself more and more, I don't fit at all in our society at large. I really don't. I'm just an outcast. I feel like that more and more and more. And the more I think about it, the more it drives me crazy. I don't know if you think like that or not sometimes, but let me illustrate it if I can like this. I like riding roller coasters. Always have. I love roller coasters. And I mean, the faster, the higher, the more loops, in my mind, the better. I like roller coasters. But I don't like riding something that takes me around and around and around. Never have, never will. Several years ago, I was talked into getting on one of those things, and with some kids I worked with in West Virginia, and it's one of those cheap state fair rides, you know. And I got on one of those things, and it turned me every way but loose, to be honest with you. It took me up, down, around, and around, and around, this way, that way. And I mean, I was glad to get rid of that thing. It got me so disoriented when I got off. I literally hardly didn't know which way was up. I lost my focus. I lost my balance. I didn't know which way to walk. And I made a pledge. I determined I would never put myself in that situation again. I didn't like it. Well, I think about our society in that light. We have literally turned things upside down. We really have. Things are no longer right side up in our society. Our society has gone totally opposite from God. It does not view things the way that God views them. Our society looks at things totally different than God looks at them. Now, if you don't believe that, you just look at what they are propagating and teaching in regards to things like abortion and homosexuality. Listen, what we have done, we have turned things upside down so much, we have actually, in our society, begun to call good evil today and evil good. In regards to abortion, you know, if you are somebody that stands for reproductive rights, as they call it, or a woman's right to choose, man, they applaud you. You are pretty smart. You're a good person if you stand for that. However, if you're somebody and you say, wait a minute, that is the taking of an innocent life. Abortion, plain and simple, is killing unborn children. And if you're somebody that says that's nothing but that sanctioned murder on the part of the state, well, man, you are the wicked one all of a sudden. You're just ungodly because you would dare question a woman's right to choose. You see how we have turned things upside down. When it comes to homosexuality today, if you're somebody that stands for the rights of individuals that just have an alternative lifestyle, you know, and if you look at that as just a normal way of life for some people, and you champion the rights, and you see the homosexual as almost a protective class, well, man, they applaud you. You're a pretty good fella. But if you're somebody who says, wait a minute, homosexuality is in reality a perversion, is an abomination in the eyes of God, you know, against nature itself, why, you're the bigot. You're the wicked one. And it goes like that with almost every aspect of our society, be it the home and the family, you know, morality. Today, it is ludicrous to expect young people to remain pure until they're married, you know. If you're somebody that says that fornication is still a vile sin in the eyes of God, well, you're just too judgmental, you know. When it comes to the home and the family and the roles of men, the roles of women, I'm telling you, society has taken it and turned it upside down. Society is polar opposite to how God views things. It really is. Now, I'll just tell you this. I was talking to Brother Danny the other day, and I said this. I have preached for years that things have got to get worse and got to get worse and worse before Jesus comes again. I preached that most all of my adult life. I really have. But in reality, I never expected to happen in my day. You know, I somehow thought it would be post Joe Collins. You know, I knew it was truth, and I knew the Bible taught it, but I really didn't expect it to happen to me. I kind of put it off until some future date. Well, guess what? The future is here now. Folks, we are living, on the one hand, in the midst of a falling away, even among churches in our land. Many of the grand old truths that our fathers stood for is now being brought into serious question, you know. And people begin to doubt some of the things that we once stood for. We are living in a falling away. We are living in the midst right now, I think, of what will be perilous times. And here's the thing. It will get worse and it will get worse and it gets worse. Now, if you ask the question, why are we the way that we are? I want you to know there is a biblical answer to that question. There really is. And that's what we're going to be discussing in the next two messages, I think. And I'm going to do it in two stages, which means I'm going to leave you hanging this morning. There's no way I can avoid that. And I'll do the best I can to put a wrap it up at the end. But I'm going to leave you hanging. And then I'll finish it up next Lord's Day. This morning, I want to talk about the first man. Next week, I'll talk about the fall of man. Now you see, if you're going to understand why we are the way that we are. And again, I just tell you, I look out. And I am astounded many times. I shouldn't be, but I'm astounded at many times at what the way people live and the way people conduct themselves. And I think, how in the world did we get to be like that? Well, if you want the answer to that, you've got to go back to the source of, if you will. You've got to go back to the beginning. That's what we're going to do this morning. Listen to what the scripture says in Genesis chapter number 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, I chose to read those two verses. Now, I could have read any other number of verses in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, but I chose to read those two verses because it very plainly, very clearly states that God created man. Now, listen, until you get that right, you're going to be wrong on everything else. You got to get this right. God created man. Today, we're being taught that man is just a product of some evolutionary process. And by the way, we're being fed that stuff. They have spoon-fed us that stuff for years. That's the way the devil works. It starts out very slowly and small, you see. And he feeds it to you a little. When I was younger, they taught what they called the theory of evolution in public schools. Now, the teachers also taught what they called the theory of creation. My teacher in high school, Mr. Roberts, who was a believer, he told us in the class, now, I've got to teach you the theory of evolution, but I'm also going to teach you the truth. But see, they brought it in little by little and fed it to us long enough to where now evolution is no longer considered a theory. Evolution is considered a fact. And if you dare question evolution, why, man, you are a flat earther. You know, you're a Neanderthal. That's the way they work. But listen, the Bible teaches us that God created man. That's it, folks. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is true. Let God be true. Man, you know what? That's exactly what it means. Man is not the product of some evolutionary process. You were created by God. Now, I thought about this. And people put a lot of stock today in being first or being number one. I want you to understand there's only one person that can rightfully claim to be first or being number one, and that was Adam. That's it. I read the story about Muhammad Ali one time, and I remember Muhammad Ali when I was a boy, and he, what a braggart he was, you know, to watch him box and all this stuff. And Ali said he got on a plane one time, and he sat down in the seat, and the stewardess came by and told him to buckle his seatbelt. And Ali looked up at her in his cocky way and said, "Man, Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she looked back at him in the eye and says, "You're right. And Superman don't need no airplane either." You know. Read about this cowboy And it may not fit here in my message, but I'm going to throw it anyway. I can do it if I want to. I'm preaching. But read about this cowboy who had a goal, ambition of being the greatest gunfighter of his day. And he walked into a saloon one time and he saw an old man standing there, recognized him as being the greatest gunfighter in his day. So he walked up to him and asked him if he had any advice. And the old man looked at him and said, well, yeah, I do. He said, tie your holster lower on your leg. And the young man did that. He pulled his gun out and shot the bow tie off the guy playing the piano. He said, man, that worked pretty good. He said, you got any more advice? And the old man said, well, yeah, now that you missed it, you cut a notch where the hammer goes into the holster and it'll slide out quicker. And he said, oh, I like it. So he did that and he pulled his gun out, shot the cuff links off the man playing the piano. He said, and that's great. He said, have you got any more? He said, well, I got one more thing. He said, take that can of axle grease over there and grease your gun all over, handles and all. And the man sort of said, oh, I get it, so it'll slide out quicker. He said, no, that's not it at all. But when Wider finishes playing the piano and he shoves that thing down your throat, it'll go down a lot easier, you know. Now, a lot of people like to talk about being first or number one, as they talk about. There's only one number one person. God created Adam. Now, listen again. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. That's it. In the likeness of God made he him. And so today I just want to remind ourselves about the first man. Next week we'll talk about the fall of man. But listen, never forget this. You are a product of the creative work of God. God created you. You will stand before your Creator one day. I'll emphasize this as we go along. And it boggles the mind. But God actually created man to have fellowship and a relationship with man. Sinner, I'm here to tell you, without a relationship, a right relationship with God, you have a great big vacuum, a great void in your heart and soul that nothing can fill but God. That's it. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me point out three simple truths. It's very elementary, and I hope I can do it without boring you to tears, about the first man. In the first place, Adam was divinely created. Now, this is important because, again, in verse 1, it very clearly states that God created man. Now, you can flip back in chapter 1 if you want to, and in verse number 27, and it says this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female, He says, created He them. Now, beloved, again, the fact of the matter is man was divinely created by God. Now, either the Bible, this book, is the Word of God, or it is not. I'm kind of a black and white kind of person. This is either the Word of God or it is not. And the Word of God is either true or it's not. Folks, the Bible teaches us that God created us. It leaves no room whatsoever for any form or shape of evolution. None whatsoever. Where it is pure atheistic evolution as Darwinism promoted, or the newfangled stuff that we hear today called theistic evolution, you know, doesn't matter. Either the Bible is true or it is not. And I am amazed at the so-called intelligent people that have bought into this foolishness called evolution. You look at, in the World Book Encyclopedia, It explains the theory of evolution basically like this. That perhaps up to 3 to 4 billion years ago in the primordial sea, that the first molecules appeared, and through those molecules colliding together, eventually attached together, formed more complex organisms that eventually they adapted specialized characteristics to help them to adapt to their environment. And that was the beginning of life. And all the species, in all of its variety, came from that little one cell organism. Come on, folks. A fool would believe something like that. It seems like man will believe anything so he can deny God. But the Bible says, God created. There was another scientist. I got his name written down here somewhere. I'm not even good at using notes. Jastrow. There it is. He was a famous astronomer and he was also an agnostic. And he explained evolution like this. He said sometimes billions of years ago, and that's all they can say, that there was a collision of molecules. And through those collision of molecules, some of them attached together, and then eventually more collide with them, attached to them, and then somehow they miraculously divided itself in two exact copies, and that was the beginning of life. That's the stuff they want you to believe. They'll go to no lengths trying to deny God. It's like that little ditty I've told you about before that says, you know, once I was a tadpole begging to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey swinging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. That's what they want us to believe, folks. But I want you to know that Adam was divinely created. Number one under this heading, he was a miraculous creation. Now you go back to the second chapter, as I said, I'm going to be all over the place. But here's what the Bible says. And the Lord God formed, in verse 7, man out of the dust of the ground. That's good enough for me. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the word formed there is a very simple word. You know what it means? It means to fashion, to make. The idea is that God took the dust of the earth, and God himself fashioned and made man. By the way, I'm jumping ahead of myself. You won't find that said about any other creature that God created. God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. That's it. And then it says he breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. And when he did that, that man became a living soul. Now, the evolutionists cannot explain the reason why man is so superior to all the other animals, they call. I can tell you why. Because God miraculously fashioned Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Now, isn't that much more understandable and easier to understand? I read where this British scientist did a computerized study of the theory of evolution. And he says the possibility of something like that occurring from one cell and to evolve to all the different species that we have, he says it's something like 1 in 10 to the 40th power. Now, I am an idiot when it comes to math. But what that is 10 with 40 zeros after it. It's astounding. The chances of evolution is 1 in 10 to the 40th power, he said. He said, to make it much simpler, it'd be like a tornado going through a junkyard and building a 747. You know, it's much easier to say God miraculously created man. He was a miraculous creation. And then secondly, he was a marvelous creation. What I mean by that is that Adam was unlike any other beings that God created. There is a text the psalmist said one time, he said, I will praise thee, for I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I understand sin has left this mark on us, But listen, man is still an amazing creature. Really is. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I've said this to you before, but when you stop and begin to contemplate man and all of his complexity, even though we're fallen creatures now, we're still amazing, marvelous creations of God. We really are. As I've told you before, I read somewhere that if suppose you wanted to have a do-it-yourself kit for the human body, you have all the ingredients there. I can't remember all of them. A little salt, glycerin, iron, sulfur, you know, a whole lot of water. You know, basically we're just pretty much water. But you take all those ingredients, you had them all together, whatever they all are. He said you would have yourself a do-it-yourself kit for the human body. But let's see, you put it together. And he went on to say that in a piece of skin the size of a postage stamp, itty-bitty thing, there's something like 10 million cells, 4 yards of blood vessels, 100 nerves, 25 nerve endings. I mean, just all kinds of stuff he listed. He said, in a piece of skin the size of a postage stamp, not to mention the heart, the lungs, the brain, everything else that makes us tick, even if you could put it together, you'd have to devise a central electrical system to keep that body running in perfect synchronized order. You'd have to devise a cooling system to keep that body at a perfect 98.6 degrees. Isn't it much simpler to say, God created man? And folks, he created man exactly the way God said he created him. Man is not a result of evolutionary process. You are a creation of God, and you will stand before God one day. So, number one, Adam was divinely created. Number two, I got a boogie, he was also distinctively created. And what I mean by that, man is not part of the animal kingdom. I've heard that to the point of nausea. We are not part. Now, let me read you some scripture. I got them all jotted down. Just hang on. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Verse 2 of our text, again, that in the likeness of God made he him. It goes like that. Over in the 9th chapter, verse number 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Paul said, for indeed a man ought not to cover his head for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. I give you all those to say there's something different about man. Something different. He was totally separate in his creation. Now here's the interesting thing. You go back through all the days of creation. Each day God did something unique. On the first day, it says he created the heavens and the earth. Light was brought forth. Second day, he divided the waters from above from the waters from beneath, made the heavens that we know. Third day, dry land appeared and the trees and the grass. And you go through each of those days until you get down to the sixth day, and God does something that he never did. All the other things he spoke and they came into existence. God took the time to form man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. I want to tell you, you are not part of the animal kingdom. You are separate. You are distinct from the animal kingdom. Now, there's something else. The significance of his creation, again, is that God says, let us make man after our likeness, after our image. Here's something interesting. The word image means effigy. It speaks of a shade or a model. The word likeness, it literally means a model or a shape. In other words, we are the effigy. We are I don't know if I can say this without sounding blasphemous. We're a model of God. Different than everybody else. Now, I'm not talking about physical appearance, by the way. There's something greater than that. We are a reflection. We are to be. Man is to be a reflection of God on this earth. Now think about that. Man has some things that no other creature can claim. A lot of the things that are attributed to God has been given also to us. You say, boy, what are you talking about? Man can love. No other creature. Now, I know you got your little pet dog, your lap dog, that you think, man, he just loves me. You know, you heard the old joke about who loves you more, your dog or your wife? And the fellow said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You throw them both in the trunk of the car for about 4 hours and come back and open the trunk and see who's glad to see you. Yeah. And you think, well, that dog loves me. No, you're feeding him. If you lay there and pet my head all day long, I'd be affectionate towards you too. Man loves. No other creature can. Man has intelligence. He can show mercy. He has a conscience. I've messed around horses all my young life. Don't ever want another horse again. Don't care if I ever sit on a horse again. I used to have to ride them in shows. I've seen some horses, folks, that were just wicked. Really, they weren't wicked. They was just being a horse. There's no wicked or goodness when it comes to animals at all. Man has a conscience. Now, today that conscience is seared quite a bit. Man can reason, can think. I mean, folks, man is to be a reflection of God upon this earth. But not only are we a reflection of God, we are to be a representative of God on this earth. Now, you go back to the first chapter. I got to hurry because it's already quarter till, but this is one of those long and boring sermons, isn't it? You go back to Genesis chapter number 1. It says, God tells man, listen, you subdue the earth and have dominion over it. No other creature was told that. Man is God's landlord on this earth. We have authority. Now, I know we're like any other creature. We're to be submissive to God. But we have authority and dominion over this earth. Man was distinctively created. Last thing I have to edit. Man was also delightfully created. I like this. In verse 2 of our text, it says again, in the day that God created, in the likeness of God, He created male and female, created He them and blessed them. Here's something I did not know. The word blessed there is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It literally speaks of praising or saluting. That's interesting. You go back through creation, God, when He created stuff, God said it was good. And very good when He finished. But only to man did He praise him or salute him. It was something special about man. You say, why would He do that? He did that, folks, because God created man to have the privilege of a relationship with Him. No other creature on this earth. Man is the only, there is a text in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall, but when it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day, and I forget how it said it, but they heard His voice. Now, I don't like everything that happened after that, but man heard the voice of God. Isn't that something? God created man to have that relationship. And here's the thing. It was to be a progressive relationship. That is that the more man had that fellowship and relationship with God, the more God was pleased to reveal Himself to man. That's why we can sing, man, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. He is God's prize creation. Now, man was delightfully created, divinely created, and distinctively created. No other creature can say that. Now, I'll say this to you, folks. God created us to have fellowship. I don't understand why. Because God is self-sufficient in Himself. But God created us to have a relationship. And for those, for the lost person, folks, again, you have nothing but a gaping hole in your heart and your soul without that fellowship, without that relationship with God. And nothing else can fill it. That's why the lost person tries to fill it with drink and with drugs, sexual immorality, whatever else. But only God can fill that gap. You've got to have a relationship. And the only way you have that relationship is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we the way we are? You've got to go back to the beginning and understand God created man. Next week, we'll talk about the fall of man. Let's stand and close.